We desire an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of the Lord. I'd like to start by asking you a question. How are you doing this morning? I know we get asked that question frequently, don't we? People say, well, how are you doing? And it's kind of been a traditional response to say, well, I'm fine, thank you, how are you? And really, you know, a lot of times that answer is just kind of a surface response. Because if someone, there are people, you say, how are you doing? And they will start listing every need and bunion on their foot and everything. They'll just start going through making a list of every trial, everybody that looked at them wrong, every ache, every pain. And they'll just, and they won't, it just goes on and on and on. So that's where sometimes, you know, you say, how are you doing? I find it's like, whoo, they're fine and, you know, move on. But that's surface. But when someone says, you know, really, and we talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago, it's like, how are you really doing? You know, getting beyond the surface. And I had started, and I will just acknowledge in my notes, I had actually said we right here. We are blessed. But I want to personalize it this morning, and you personalize it for you. Someone says, how are you doing? And I know some of us have kind of chuckled a little bit, because sometimes when we're sick and someone says, how are you doing? We say, well, I'm blessed. And it almost started giving being blessed a bad name. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. In other words, you're not feeling good. But I want us to get below the surface of that one too this morning. Because I am so thankful to be blessed. How are you doing? I would this morning that we could all say from the bottom of our heart that I am blessed. And I don't want to ever be ashamed, and you all have heard me say it a lot when you ask me how I'm doing, but this is my go-to answer, and by the help of God, it's going to continue to be. Because I am blessed. And I like us to give consideration to Scripture what that really means this morning. We have reason to give God thanks every day in everything. We have cause to praise God, not only in the brightness of day, but in the darkness of night. We have motivation to lift our hands in praise and worship, not only in health, but in sickness, not only in riches, but in poverty, because we're blessed. We are blessed this morning. But see, blessed, that word blessed is often used in a positive way, meaning I'm blessed to have a home. I'm blessed to have freedom. Blessed to have gotten a pay raise. It's often associated in some people's minds with the absence of problems. So people use that word blessed as, in other words, I don't have any problems, nothing's wrong, I have a home, I have clothes, everybody's treating me good, and I've got money in the bank. But do you know that blessing goes way beyond just those temporal things of life? Because what about when we're sick? Are we not blessed anymore? When we're feeling bad and things are kind of difficult, are we not blessed anymore? What about when you lose your home? You know, there have been people, there have been saints that have lost their homes. Does that mean they're not blessed? They say, well, I lost my home. Has anybody here ever lost a job? Your business gone south? I know some of y'all could acknowledge that one. You know, things kind of not going real good. Does that mean we're not blessed anymore? And someone says, how are you doing, really doing? It's like, well, I am not blessed. Because see, that would be the opposite, isn't it? Because of reverses that come in life. Does it mean we get the short end of the blessing stick when things go wrong? Blessing is more than something on the surface. The true blessings of God are more than just that I'm in good health and the temporal things are going well. The blessings of God go way beyond the temporal, and it deals with the spiritual. It deals with the presence of God. Has anyone here ever just wished you could get away for a little bit? I see some heads nodding. Some of you are scared to nod your head. But the reality is I dare say that probably most of us would say, yes, there have been some times in life I just wish I could escape, if you will, some of the problems and troubles, and I wish I could just get away for a little while and just catch my breath. You know, have you ever seen children pull a blanket over their head? Have you ever felt like doing that in life? Do you know, I don't think it's a spiritually disparaging to acknowledge that sometimes even in our walk with God and in serving the Lord, there are times in life that we encounter things that frankly we just like to pull the blanket over our head. I felt that way before. Get away to an island. Anybody ever just want to go to an island where all is bliss and peaceful and happiness? An island of happiness. Do you know there is such an island? At least there used to be. I'm not sure what conditions are today, and I've never been there. The island of Cyprus is a Greek island. It's in the Mediterranean Sea, and there are many that say that, especially speaking about during the time of Christ. Like I said, I didn't research to see how the island was. I dare say it wouldn't contain the population if it were still this way. But the island of Cyprus was known as an island that had a perfect climate. The ground was fertile. There were many natural resources on the island, and it had everything that you needed on the island. So if you lived on Cyprus, you did not need to go off the island. You didn't need to import, in other words, anything. Everything that you needed was right there on the island of Cyprus, and it was called the Isle of Happiness. Would anybody here like to go with me to the Isle of Happiness? And some of you may say, but if you wouldn't, it wouldn't be an Isle of Happiness anymore. You know, when you're trying to get away. But the thing is, if you could just go to this island where it's self-contained, and this is bringing us to a point. The island was self-contained. Everything was there. And at the time, it had a nickname. And it was Makaria. And it was a play off of the Greek word Makarios, which meant divine joy. Makarios in the Greek indicates a deep, abiding joy or happiness that is not dependent on external circumstances. See, the island of Cyprus, it was self-contained. You didn't have to go off the island. So Makarios was in the Greek was that it means that deep abiding joy that is self-contained, not dependent on external things. That's why this island of Cyprus was called the Island of Makarios, because external circumstances did not affect the ability of the residents to live a comfortable, quiet, joyful life. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Do you remember, and you can turn if you would in your Bible to the 5th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Do you know what word is blessed there in the Greek? Makarios. Self-contained. Thinking about the island of Makarios. Self-contained, a place that's not dependent upon external situations and circumstances, that the outward things did not affect their ability to live a joyful, happy life. Now we find Jesus saying, blessed. There's an Isle of Happiness. There is a place of joy that is not dependent on external circumstances, and this is who it's to. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Makarios is a gift from God that the world cannot give, nor can the world take it away. If our joy this morning and our happiness is based upon temporal things, we're going to have an experience of joy and happiness that's up and down. But there is a life of blessing, because this word blessing in the Greek is makario, but it also means God's favor. Because isn't it God's favor that enables us to be at joy when circumstances around us really aren't that favorable and aren't that good? That we found a self-contained place, an island of joy and happiness, and it's found in Jesus Christ. So how do we get to that island? How do we get to this place that I'm in the favor of God? Because it also means favor and happiness attained through an inheritance given by God. In the Old Testament, the word in the Hebrew for blessed, it had to do with the giving of an inheritance. And if you look at the characters, and we're not going to take the time this morning, but the characters that make up the word in the Hebrew, they all have significance. And what it means is an inheritance of land, an inheritance of money, an inheritance that is given to someone, to a son, for example, an inheritance that's given. So when we think about the word blessed in this context, it's talking about someone bestowing something to us. The favor of Christ, His favor, His protection, His joy, the happiness that comes. It says we are blessed if we're poor in spirit. Have you ever not been poor in spirit, faced a situation or trial, and you felt yourself getting a little bit worked up? You ever been there? And you would not testify to being on the Isle of Happiness at that point. Do you know that there is a way this morning in Jesus Christ that we can live on that aisle that's not dependent upon what this person is doing? It's not dependent on even how I'm physically feeling. But there's a place, then we recognize our neediness before the Lord in that poverty of spirit. Jesus said, you are going to be in my favor. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to give you that deep source of joy and happiness in your life. Blessed are they that mourn. Why? For they shall be comforted. Do you notice that in the Sermon on the Mount, all of these blessings, it's tied with something that God gives to us? It's talking about an inheritance. If you will do this, this is what the Father will give to you. It's that Isle of Happiness. Blessed are they that mourn. You're going to be in my favor. And I'm going to be there for you when you're mourning. Blessed are the meek. Why? For they shall inherit the earth. Not striving for your own way. Not contending. Not being contentious and difficult to get along with. But humble your heart. And you'll find that that's where the blessings of the Lord rest. He said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not seeking the things of this world. Not letting your goals and your purposes and your motivations be focused around more money and more this and more that. But Lord, my primary purpose in life is I want to have a hunger and thirst after the things of God. And Jesus said, if you will do that, you will be blessed because I will fill you. That's not dependent on things around us, is it? That's something that's internal. It's self-contained. And so if you want to be on that Isle of Cyprus this morning, do you know this way of obedience is the way to get there? He went on to say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, it's in some people's nature, I've noticed, it's so much easier for some people to pick up a rock than it is for them to have mercy. Seems like they're always quick to judge things the most critically. But Jesus said, this place of joy and happiness is not found in judgment. It's found in mercy. Because when you have mercy on people that deserve judgment, do you realize that you will find internally this rest in your spirit? That we're trusting in God? Vengeance is God's. It's not ours to administer. We're going to leave that to the Lord. But when we find that place of mercy, it just brings a place of quiet rest. So how are you doing this morning? Are you blessed? If you're not, this is a recipe, if you will. These are the directions how to get to that aisle of happiness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is so contrary from what is the filth that's in our world today. And why are people never happy in the world today? Because they're always wanting something more, because it's not satisfying. But purity, young people, purity is nothing to be afraid of. It's something to embrace. It's something to strive for, because that's the place in a pure life. Maintaining purity, it's a place of fulfillment and blessing and peace and rest. And I'm going to go a step further, just a little counsel to you young folks. That's why when you get close to that marrying age, and maybe you're at that place in courtship, keep your relationships pure. Because those that don't, I want to tell you that it does not bring the peace of God. It will cause turmoil. It will cause emotional upheaval. And it's like, here, I'm with the one that we're thinking about being married, and we're wanting that aisle of happiness. This is the way to get there. Blessed are the pure in heart, keeping your purity before the Lord sacred. Because too many relationships have been wrecked and destroyed, and too many relationships, when they weren't kept pure, going into marriage, it's caused people, husbands and wives, challenges in their marriage because they did not have that respect for one another that they should have had. If you want that aisle of happiness, it's not going to be found. It's not going to be found in impurity. It's not going to be found in just not being careful. It's going to be found in a place of purity before the Lord. And that is what's going to bring the greatest joy and blessing individually and as a couple, as you seek God and let Him be the center of your life and your relationships. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Why? For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not in the middle of problems, but those that are trying to bring about peace. That's a place of blessing. He went on to say, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and sell you all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Have you been there? You ever had someone talk bad about you because you were standing for truth and right? Jesus said, blessed are you, because when you go to bed at night, you can lay there with a clean conscience and say, Lord, I'm doing everything I know to do. And yet, other people are casting your name out as evil. But there is a blessing from the Lord to be in His favor that is not dependent upon external circumstances. It is self-contained this morning in Jesus Christ. The dictionary, if you look it up in the English, do you know what it says under blessed? The first definition in more than one dictionary. The world doesn't talk about this one. They just said, we're blessed to have freedom. Well, I'm thankful for freedom. It is a blessing, but it's a whole lot more. The first definition of blessed in the English word is holy or consecrated. Talking about like sacrifices that were blessed to God. When we talk about blessing to God, I will bless the Lord, it has to do with praise. I will praise the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. But when you look at what blessing is and it's holy and consecrated, I can't help but believe this morning that if we want to be on that aisle of happiness, that aisle of joy, that aisle that's self-contained and not dependent on what's going on around in the other areas of the world, it's going to be by coming through the blood of Jesus with a life that is consecrated and holy before God. So when someone says, how are you doing? It's all right to share your problems and your needs, especially when people ask. But do you know what? I am so thankful to say this morning, I am blessed. And I mean that. What does it mean? It's like we're in a place where God has bestowed something inside that I couldn't get on my own. But in following these directions this morning, there's a place that we can rest in the favor of the Lord Jesus, wholly consecrated to God. It's not based upon wealth then. What does that do with what the religious world is teaching this morning? That if you will follow the Lord, you'll get the pay raises and you'll have wealth and health. And that's not what the scripture teaches. You remember what it said, what he said, the Spirit said to the church at Laodicea? When he said, you say you are rich and increased with goods and we have need of nothing. Would the world today say those people were blessed? They didn't have need of anything. They were rich. They were increased with goods. Isn't it ironic that some of the biggest preachers in our country today, that's the message that they're preaching? It's a message of wealth and prosperity. What did the Spirit say about it? He said, this isn't real blessing. He said, you have all these temporal things, but he said, you are wretched and naked and you need to count, I said, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. So the true blessings of the Lord go way beyond the material, physical things of life. The blessings of God this morning far outweigh the troubles and the difficulties and battles. Thinking about Job, what we heard in Sunday school this morning, we were turned there to the 40th chapter. And I looked down, and do you know what it said? It said God blessed him. His end was more blessed than his beginning. That was talking about God giving. See, it was inheritance. Blessing is pointing forward to something. If you'll be meek, you'll inherit the earth. I'm going to give you something. There's a favor that God bestowed on him. But I thought about Job as we talked about him this morning, and I consider Job, and what about in the middle of his problems? Do you know I still believe Job was blessed? His wife had told him to curse God. He didn't even have his wife to support him. His friends weren't supportive. He lost all of his physical things. But there was something deep inside of Job. That even when he looked around and couldn't see God, he was still able to say, he knoweth the way that I take. I'm still in God's hands. I don't understand what's happening. And I'm suffering and I'm hurting and I'm discouraged in a way. But I know that God is still there, even when I don't see Him. Do you want to talk about a man that was blessed? Have you not been in the darkness of night, and yet in your spirit you experience the presence of God? That's still being blessed. I would rather have the presence of God this morning than all the wealth that this world has to offer, because those things don't bring happiness. They don't bring joy. But to find the security and God's protection, another definition of blessing, to find His blessings in my life, to know I'm safe and secure in the hands of God. How are you doing this morning? I'm blessed. We're blessed this morning. And if you're not blessed, you know what? You can be blessed, because Jesus showed us the way on the Sermon on the Mount. Simple message Jesus preached. It wasn't long. And you know, I was going to turn over to Ephesians 1, and in some Bibles, not all your Bibles will have this. In some Bibles though, beginning from chapter 3 to chapter 14, the little subtitle says, the blessings given by God, or the blessings of God. And it begins to go through and talks about the spiritual blessings. And you know what? I think the Lord does not want us to go through all that this morning. So if you want some homework, if you'd like something for a devotional, go read Ephesians chapter 1. All right? Ephesians chapter 1, and read the whole chapter. Verses 3 to 14, he begins to share and to show the blessings of the Lord. And in the middle of all of that, the scripture talks about how He hath chosen us and we're adopted. What does that mean when we're adopted? We've been chosen. I took the children God gave to me. I didn't go pick them out in a lineup. And I'm thankful for them, but you know, there's something special about adoption. We chose them. You chose them. Do you know the Lord has chosen us this morning? That's blessed. We're in His favor, and it means then, and you can read again in Isaiah chapter 43, when it said that He calls us by name. And when we go through the fire, we're not going to be burned. When we go through the river, it's not going to overflow thee. That's blessed, folks. It doesn't mean that we're exempt from troubles in life, but it means we've got the presence of God, that I can be blessed in an isle of joy in the divine favor of God that's not dependent on the circumstances around about me. There's a song that said, and I heard it this week, said, He knows my name. You've all heard that song? He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed with the pain and I can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine. Why? Because He knows my name. That's just another way of saying that, you know what, I'm blessed. Right in the middle of my problems, in the middle of my suffering, I found an oasis in the divine favor of God on an island of happiness. And that's walking with Jesus Christ. There's another song that maybe we can conclude in just a few minutes by singing a verse of it. It says, "It is well with my soul." Written by a man that had lost his children, lost his wife, I believe. Was it just his wife? What was it? Okay. He'd lost family. He'd lost those that he loved. And yet he was able to say, "It is well with my soul." And you know, after that, he still had a nervous breakdown. People don't talk about that one as much. The man that wrote, "It is well with my soul," had a nervous breakdown. But do you realize that was still external? But I believe in the depth of the soul, and folks, I've been really close there, that you can still say, you know what? The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is what? It's blessed because it is renewed day by day. I had a whole lot more to cover. I think the Lord's done. I think we got the message. Do you know this morning that we are blessed, and one of the greatest blessings is this: that it is pointing forward to a day that we're going to inherit eternal life. That's the blessing, the ultimate blessing of God. Blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. Blessed. In other words, God's going to give you something. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. If you'll endure it, just stay faithful. And you can have the presence of God, but He's going to bring you out and give you a crown of life. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing." See that fight of faith? You say, is that really blessing? You're in this fight of faith? That means a struggle, doesn't it? But I was faithful in the struggle, and I had the protection and favor of God with me right in the struggle, and He's going to give me an inheritance. And the world can't steal this from us. So when you come up and ask someone, "How are you doing?" And have you ever been trying to figure out what to say? "I'm not feeling good and I'm sick." I am blessed. And that's not a cop-out, saints. There is no better testimony or no better place to be than in the divine favor and protection of the Lord, where we are, it is not dependent on external circumstances. So this week, I would just encourage you, if you need a little getaway, if you want to get away and go to that island where the temperature's wonderful and the fields are fertile, just be obedient to the Lord. Blessed are they. He gave us some things to follow, and you will find the favor of God with you. May the Lord bless you.